Please turn, if you will, to the psalm which we're looking at today together, Psalm 67, which is on page 584 of the Old Testament part of the Bible. One of the things that my husband John does, he's a chaplain at Mac Hospital. One of the things that he will often talk about to one of the patients is whether they pray, and often encourages them to pray for themselves while they are ill and to draw close to God. And sometimes one of the reactions is, well, is it all right to pray for myself? And it's a reaction that we too sometimes find as we visit people. Well, if we look at Psalm 67, the first verse, it is indeed a prayer for the psalmist himself. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. So praying for himself, but also for others. And of course, this you may recognize because it echoes the blessing used by Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. In Numbers. It says, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." And that's what Moses and Aaron used for the priests who were there. So is it okay to pray for oneself? Well, yes, absolutely. Because we have a God who is gracious and wants to bless us. And sometimes I think we forget that actually God wants to bless each one of us. Sometimes we think, oh, well, it's all right for somebody else. But no, God wants to bless each one of us. There's no partiality. And in Ephesians, we're reminded that actually God wants to bless us even more than we can imagine. And some of us have got good imaginations. God wants to bless us even more than that. We can't even dream of the way that God wants to bless each one of us. So it is good to ask for God's blessing, because actually that's the very best thing in all the world. Better than any material possessions, better than any relationships, to be blessed by God is the best thing in the world. And so this beginning of the psalm, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That's a prayer that we can use for ourselves. But of course, it's a prayer we can use for others too. And many of us, we do pray for our children, our grandchildren, our friends and our neighbours. And it's a great prayer to pray. But if we look at this psalm, we see that's not only what the psalmist is asking for in prayer. He's got some very clear desires in verse 2, in verse 3 and 5 and in 4. The purpose, he says, of being blessed by God is so that others will be blessed also. And so in verse 2 we've got, so that your saving power, God's salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ, may be made known among all nations, so that the people will praise God. The nations will be glad and sing for joy. And again in verse 5, like verse 3, that the people will praise you and that God will be known. So the psalmist is echoing the covenant promise of God. Do you remember in Genesis, what did he say to Abraham? You will be blessed, and through you, Abraham, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Or as Isaiah said, I will give you, Jesus, that's called the servant in the book of Isaiah, you will be a light to the nations, so that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. So the psalmist is praying completely in line with God's will. And so he knows that God will hear his prayer. So what are the main prayer points? Well, first of all, that God will be made known. that salvation will be given to all nations, that everyone will have that possibility of hearing and knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. That all the people of the earth will be a people of praise, a people of worship, worshiping the one true living God. In verse 4, that all people will enjoy God's presence. I like actually the NIV and other translations rather than this one on verse 4, because it says all the people will enjoy God's presence. And because they're enjoying God's presence, they'll be filled with joy. And finally, that God is revered as the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So first of all, God will be made known. How is that possible? Well, Jesus said that those who follow him must be salt and light. And that's why we can pray with confidence that God will bless us, because Jesus wants you and me to be that salt and light, so that we like shine, as it were, like stars in this dark world of ours. We also need to tell about our God, the only true God, because there is no other. And there's such confusion these days. We hear people say, but they worship one God too. Yes, but it's a God of their own making. There is only one God to be worshipped, and he is only known through the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us very clearly, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. All religions do not lead to God. There's only one way. And we are the people who know that, and we must tell others. God, in his graciousness, has made that way open to everyone, all people on earth. He is a gracious, loving God. But he's a God of justice. In verse 4, you judge the people with equity. And so that's why there is no other way except through Jesus Christ that we can know the living God. Because God is a God of justice. And Jesus was the only remedy for our failure and rebellion. You see, Jesus is perfection, and we can have his righteousness because he took our punishment upon himself on the cross. And that's what happened. Jesus died in our place. We were judged through Jesus Christ. And when we believe and trust and follow him, he puts his clothes of righteousness on us and washes away our wrongdoing. And so for all who believe and trust in him, they know God and they know his saving power. And it doesn't matter what the color of your skin is, or what race you are, or what great ancestry you may have, or even the size of your brain, or the place of your birth. And there are no bribes or bargaining that we have in today's world. No, we can only stand in the presence of God through his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And when somebody asks you, how do you know that you're going to heaven? That is the only answer we give. We go into heaven because I stand in the presence of Jesus Christ as my Savior. That's how we go to heaven. That's the hope that we have within us. And so this is why the psalmist says we need to be blessed, so that God's way is known and his saving power is among all the nations. And thank God it is happening. There's some great things happening in the Middle East these days. And do you know where the church is growing the fastest? Not the biggest, but where is the church growing the fastest? In Iran. That's the latest, Vickers. Iran,
the closed country.
But that's where they say the church is growing fastest. Amazing. God is at work in his world. And we know too that when we look at some of the nations of the world and we see them laugh and mock and think how great they are, we realize that that is not true. God is a God ultimately who guides the nations. So that's what it says in verse 4. Not only does God judge, but he's guiding the nations on earth. In Acts 17, it says this. From one ancestor, Abraham, God made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live. You see, man can often think that he can do just as he wants, and we see some terrible examples of this in different parts of the world. Places like North Korea, places in Africa. But God is sovereign and he will have his way. They can go so far, but God will guide and direct, and he has his boundaries. So we are to pray for the nations of the earth that they may know the saving power of our God. And so we must ask ourselves, are we like the psalmist? Do we pray for the nations of the world? Do we pray for our mission partners? Do we pray for our local community, our neighbours, our family? Do we sometimes think that people are beyond salvation? Oh, well, they'll never listen. And yet, when God is at work, it's amazing the people who do come to know him. And so we are to pray. And we are not to decide, oh, well, I won't pray for them. We might not say it like this, but subconsciously, we won't pray for them because they'll never listen to Christian things. They always poo-poo it. Do you know what? When God is at work, no one can stand. We need to pray. And sometimes it's years and years and years and years before people do become believers. But it happens because God is at work. Don't give up praying, especially for your children, because God is so gracious when members of our family don't know him. And so he goes on to say, verse 3 and verse 5, we are to be a people of praise, all the nations, but especially his people who call themselves Christians today. We who know the salvation of God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we are to be a people of praise. I wonder if that's how we are each day. You know, we moan about the weather, don't we, in Britain? I empathize because I do too sometimes. But actually, you know, we are to be a people of praise, to give thanks, and to wonder in God's creation. And I think one of the great things is whenever I'm in a large gathering, perhaps at Keswick or New Wine or some great gathering of Christians where you can often see people of ethnic origins, it's just a fantastic experience when many nations come together to praise God. It's uplifting. And you know, there is power in praise. There was a book many years ago called Power in Praise. Anybody remember it? No, there was a fantastic book, and it was talking about that when we praise God, we release God's power. Because God loves to inhabit the praises of his people. That's what the Psalms say. God inhabits the praises of his people. So when we worship him from our hearts, God is there with us and becomes very close to us. So each day, let's begin each day by praising God. And let's close each day as before we sleep by praising God. Let's be known, not as moaners, but as people of praise. Because that encourages others too, to look to Him, God, our Creator. It was in 1646 when the Church of England formed the Westminster Catechism. And they declared this, that the chief purpose of humankind is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So I have to ask myself, is my life full of praise and worship? And is this my prayer for our church and for others who don't yet know God? And it says we are to enjoy Him forever. And in some translations of this particular psalm, in verse 4, it says, let the nations enjoy His presence and sing for joy. Do we enjoy our God? Because when we enjoy Him, we become filled with joy. Isn't that what Jesus meant when He said, I've come to give you life and life abundantly? It's one of my favorite verses. God doesn't want to give us a mundane life. He wants to give us life abundantly. But when we were on the mission field, we had an old lady who prayed for us every day. And she knew all about us, and she knew every person that we'd met in Thailand. But she lived in a place that had once been quite nice, quite a big terraced house. But down the years, as she grew older, she'd never been married, as she grew older, the area wasn't very nice anymore. But she'd stayed in this house. She couldn't get out. She had people who brought her food and different things. But whenever we went to see her, which wasn't that often, but when we came home for furlough, she was the most joyful person I've ever met, I think. She enjoyed God's presence. You went into her quite small room where she spent most of her time, and there was electric fire then. She couldn't walk about very much. But she said, it's just great to be in God's presence. I read His word and I sing praises to Him. And she was just there. What a challenge to me that lady is. That even with all a disability, even living in an area where sometimes people knocked on the door and ran away and she didn't know who they were and all kinds of things happening around her, she still enjoyed God's presence. That's challenging, isn't it? Do we enjoy God's presence? Because if we do, we will enjoy true joy and life abundantly. You see, the fruit of the Spirit of God is joy. And real life is for living. But real life is only found in Jesus Christ. Do we spend time in His presence? Do we read His word? Do we go back to His word and think, what did that mean this morning? Oh, I might just ask Him about that again. Do we meditate on God's word? You see, we all say we're busy, and we are busy, and life is busy. And the busy people end up being more busy because they volunteer to do more things, which is terrific. But you know, we do find time to do the things that we want to do, whether it's going to the gym or golf or tennis or the beauty salon or the tanning. We've got a tanning place now, or the yoga, but please don't go to the yoga. But you know, we find time to do the things that we want to do. Well, ask God to give you the desire to read His word so that you really can say, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. That you want to get up in the morning and praise God. That you want to get up and can't wait to read a little bit more of Mark's gospel or whatever you're reading. We need to be a people of passion, a people who enjoy God's presence. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. The psalmist here in Psalm 67 says that God may be known We need to know him well, not just a little bit. We need to know him well, and we do that by spending time with him and in his word. That his saving power is made among the nations. And we need to experience his saving power as we pray. Because as we pray for friends and neighbors and all kinds of things, we'll experience his saving power because we'll get answers to prayer. And his grace and justice. And then, as the psalmist concludes, then we will revere him. We will revere him. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. You see, when we realize who God is, it puts everything else in perspective. The whole of this psalm, really, is about spiritual life. But as we see in verse 6, he remembers too the good benefits that God has given. And it's thought that this psalm was used at harvest time. So in verse 6, the earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. Yes, God had blessed the harvest, and they had food again for another year. But you know, so often, my prayers, maybe your prayers too, are much more on the material rather than the spiritual. And yet God, in this psalm, shows us that actually, let's pray for spiritual blessing. And then we will also receive all the goodness and things that we need, because God is our provider. God has blessed us with so much, but he wants to bless us even more spiritually, so that we are truly salt and light, so that we are people of praise, so that we enjoy his presence, and that we revere him as Almighty God. Prayer is important. It's our lifeline to God. And we can help bring this world to know him through our prayers. Yes, pray for ourselves. Pray for God's blessing to be poured out upon you. But pray too that God's blessing will be poured out upon our church. And as we look for a new vicar, let's pray for that too, that the person who comes will be full of God's Spirit, that that person will be a person of praise, that that person will be able to lead us further into maturity in Christ Jesus. And so, as Jesus said, go into all nations and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let each one of us, even if we're in a room on our own and we don't go out much, to take time to enjoy God's presence, but to pray that God's kingdom will come, that he will be known by us and be made known to others. Amen.